Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Egg Monsters from Mars on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This is actually book 42, and after doing the Comics Online podcast with Giovanni, I realized that people just listen to the books that they want to, you know, and the ones they remember. So Giovanni suggested this one because it had little egg creatures on the front. I'm really hoping this is the one he was referring to, but So he requested I record it. He didn't request that I record it in the bath. There was never any mention of me being nude or anything at the time, but I can read between the lines. I know what's up. So definitely in the bath again at a new place. Drinking a bunch of Pabst Blue Ribbon, so we'll see how this goes. The audio seems like it's recording a bit high. Oh, whatever. Chapter 1 of Egg Monsters from Mars by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. My sister Brandy asked for an egg hunt for her 10th birthday, and Brandy always gets what she wants. She flashed her smile, the one that makes the dimples pop up in her cheeks, and she puts on her little baby face, opens her green eyes wide, and tugs at her curly red hair.
Please! Please, can I have an egg hunt at my party?
No way Mom and Dad can ever say no to her or her speech impediment. If Brandy asked for a red, white, and blue ostrich for her birthday, Dad would be out in the garage right now painting an ostrich. Ostrich is one of my favorite words. Ostrich. 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 It's a great word. Just like Jupiter. 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 Ostrich Jupiter. What is this turning into? All right. Brandy is good at getting her way. Real good. I'm her older brother, Dana Johnson. And I admit it, even I have trouble saying no to Brandy. I'm not little and cute like my sister. I have straight black hair that falls over my forehead, and I wear glasses. And I'm a little chubby. I think this is the first fat kid in a Goosebumps book. Real progressive, R.L. Dana, don't look so serious. That's what Mom is always telling me. Dana has an old soul, Grandma Evelyn always says. I don't really know what that means. I guess she means I'm more serious than most 12-year-olds. Maybe that's true. I'm not really serious all the time. I'm just curious about a lot of things. I'm really interested in science. I like studying bugs and plants and animals. I have an ant farm in my room and 2 tarantulas. That's gonna get the ladies, Dana. And I have my own microscope. Last night I studied a toenail under the microscope. It was a lot more interesting than you might think. I want to be a research scientist when I'm older. I'll have my own lab and study anything I want to, like making methamphetamine. Dad is a chemist. Dad is a kind of chemist. He works for a perfume company, but mostly makes methamphetamine. He mixes things together to make new smells. He calls them fragrances. Ugh, what a homo. Before Mom and Dad met, she worked in a lab. She did things with white rats. So both of my parents are happy that I'm into science. They encourage me. But that doesn't mean they give me whatever I ask for. If I asked my dad for a red, white, and blue ostrich for my birthday, do you know what I think he'd say? He'd say, "Hey, go fuck yourself." And I'd cry. Anyway, Brandy asked for an egg hunt for her birthday. Her birthday's a week before Easter, so it wasn't a crazy idea. We have a very large backyard. It stretches all the way back to a small, trickling creek. The yard is filled with bushes and trees and flower beds, and there's a big old doghouse, even though we don't have a dog.
How wasteful. Lots of poor people would pay a lot of money to live in that doghouse, and you squander it.
Lots of good egg hiding places. So Brandy got her egg hunt. She invited her entire class. You may not think that egg hunts are exciting, but Brandy's was. Brandy's birthday came on a warm and sunny day. Only a few small cumulus clouds high in the sky. I study clouds. Nerd. Mom hurried out of the backyard after breakfast, lugging a big basket of eggs. I'll help you hide them, I told her. That wouldn't be fair, Dana, Mom cried. You're going to be in the egg hunt too, remember? I almost forgot. Brandy usually doesn't want me hanging around when our cool friends come over, but today she said that I could be in the egg hunt, and so could my best friend, Anne Gravel. Ooh, that's a badass name. Anne lives in the house next door. My mom is best friends with Anne's mom. Mrs. Gravel agreed to let Mom hide eggs all over their backyard, too, so it's only fair that Anne gets to join in.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Anne is tall and skinny, and has long, red-brown hair. She's nearly a head taller than me, so everyone thinks she's older, but she's 12, too. Anne is very funny. She's always cracking jokes, and not just jokes that are funny for a girl, like Sarah Silverman, when you're like, ah, this wouldn't be funny at all if a dude was saying it, but actually legitimately funny jokes, like Maria Bamford. She makes fun of me because I'm so serious, but I don't mind, I know she's only joking. That afternoon, Anne and I stood on the driveway and watched the kids from Brandy's class arrive at the party. Brandy handed each one of them a little straw basket. They were really excited when Brandy told them about the egg hunt. And the girls got even more excited when Brandy told them the grand prize. One of those expensive American Girls trademark dolls. Of course, the boys started to grumble. Brandy should have had a prize a boys might like. Some of the boys started using their baskets as frisbees, and others began wrestling on the grass. I was a lot more sophisticated when I was 10, I muttered to Anne. When you were 10, you liked Ninja Turtles, Anne replied, rolling her eyes.
I like Ninja Turtles.
I did not, I protested. Yes, you did, Anne insisted. You wore a Ninja Turtle t-shirt to school every day. I kicked some gravel across the driveway. Just because I wore the shirt doesn't mean I like them, I replied. Anne flung back her long hair. She sneered at me. I hate when Anne sneers at me. You had a Ninja Turtle cups and plates at your 10th birthday, and a Ninja Turtle tablecloth, and we played some kind of Ninja Turtle pizza pie throwing game. Why does this birthday sound so awesome? I'm totally jealous right now. But that doesn't mean I like them, I declared. Three more girls from Brandy's class came running across the lawn. I recognized them. They were girls I called a hair sister. They're not sisters, but they spend all their time in Brandy's room after school doing each other's hair. Gross hair! Dad moved slowly across the grass toward them. He had his camcorder up to his face. The three hair sisters waved to the camera and yelled, Happy birthday, Brandy! Dad tapes all of our birthdays and vacations and big events. He keeps the tape on a shelf in a den. We never watch them. The sun beamed down. The grass smelled sweet and fresh. The spring leaves on the trees were just starting to unfurl. Okay, everyone, follow me to the back, Brandy ordered, total demanding C-word. The kids lined up in twos and threes, carrying their baskets. Anne and I followed behind them. Dad walked backwards, busily taping everything. Brandy led the way to the backyard. Mom was waiting there. The eggs are hidden everywhere, Mom announced, sweeping her hand in the air. Everywhere you can imagine! Up your butt, Mom! Is what Dana would have said if he was as rad as Dune. Okay, everybody, Brandy cried. At the count of three, the egg hunt begins. One, Anne leaned down and whispered in my ear. Bet you $5 I collect more eggs than you. I smiled. Anne always knows how to make things more interesting. Two, you've got a bet, I told her. Three, Brandy called. The kids all cheered. The hunt for eggs was on. They all began hurrying through the backyard, bending down to pick up the eggs. Some of them moved their hands and knees through the grass. Some of them worked in groups. Some of them searched through the yard on their own. I turned to Anne and saw Anne stooping down, moving quickly along the side of the garage. She already had three eggs in her basket. I can't let her win, I told myself. I sprang into action. I ran past the cluster girls around the old doghouse and I kept moving. I wanted to find an area of my own, a place where I could grab a bunch of eggs without having to compete with the others. I jogged across the tall grass, making my way to the back. I was all alone, nearly to the creek when I started my search. I spotted an egg hidden behind a small rock. I had to move fast. I wanted to win the bet. I bet down. I picked it up and quickly dropped it in my basket. Then I knelt down, sat my basket on the ground, and started to search for more eggs. But I jumped up when I heard a scream.
Why?
The scream ran through the air. I turned back toward the house. One of the Hare sisters was waving her hand wildly, calling to the other girls. I grabbed my basket and ran toward her.
They're not hard-boiled!
I heard her cry as I came closer and I saw the drippy yellow yolk running down the front of her white t-shirt. Mom didn't have time to hard-boil them, Brandy announced, or to paint them. I know it's weird, but there just wasn't time. I raised my eyes to the house. Mom and Dad had both disappeared inside. Be careful, Brandy warned her party guest. If you crack them... She didn't finish her sentence. I heard a wet splat.
Yeah, using the bath for sound effects.
I heard a wet splat. Then laughter. A boy had tossed the egg against the side of the doghouse. Cool, one of the girls exclaimed. Anne's big sheepdog, Stubby, came running out of the doghouse. I don't know why he likes to sleep in there. He's almost as big as the house.
Oh, I guess not every giant dog can have a house like Clifford. There's an awkward pause right here, I apologize.
But I didn't have time to think about Stubby. Splat! Another egg exploded, this time against the garage wall. More laughter. Brandy's friends thought it was really hilarious. Egg fight! Egg fight! Two boys started to chant. I ducked as an egg went sailing over my head. It landed with a crack on the driveway. Eggs were flying everywhere now. I stood there and gaped in amazement. I heard a shrill shriek. I spun around to see two of the Hare sisters had runny yellow egg oozing in their hair. Gross! They were shouting and tugging at their hair. I tried to pull the yellow gunk off with both hands. Splash! Another egg hit the garage.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Crack! Eggs bounced all over the driveway. I ducked down and searched for Anne. She probably went home, I figured. Anne enjoys a good laugh, but she's 12. Much too sophisticated for a babyish egg fight. Well, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Think fast, Dana! Anne screamed from behind me. I threw myself to the ground just in time. She heaved two eggs at once, then both whirred over my head and dropped onto the grass with a sickening crack. Stop it! Stop it! I heard Brandy shrieking desperately. It's my birthday! Stop it! It's my birthday! Thunk. Somebody hit Brandy in the chest with an egg. Wild laughter rang out. Sticky yellow puddles covered the black lawn.
Oh, the back lawn. I guess that makes much more sense than black lawn. It's like not Anton LaVey's house.
I raised my eyes to Anne. She was grinning back at me, about to let me have it again. Time for action. I reached in my basket and pulled out the one and only egg I had picked up. I raised it high above my stupid head, started to throw, but stopped. The egg. I lowered it and stared at it, stared hard at it. Something was wrong with the egg. Something was terribly wrong.
I just realized that I completely skipped past the chapter 2 thing. I just kept reading on. There was a pause there at some point. So chapter 2!
And now chapter 3. The egg was too big, bigger than a normal egg, about the size of a softball. I held it carefully. Studying it, the color wasn't right either. It wasn't egg-colored, that creamy off-white, and it wasn't brown. The egg was pale green. I raised it to the sunlight to make sure I was seeing correctly. Yes, green. And what were those thick cracks running up and down the shell? I ran my pointer finger over the dark, jagged lines. No, not cracks. Some kind of vines. Blue and purple.
Wow. Literacy. Let me do this again. We'll just pretend this didn't happen.
Just like my parents pretending I never happened. Dop, dop, dop.
All right. Beer one down.
No, not cracks. Some kind of veins. Blue and purple veins crisscrossing the green eggshell. weird, I muttered out loud. Brandy's friends were shouting and shrieking. Eggs were flying all around me, and eggs splattered over my sneakers. The yellow yolk oozed over my laces, but I didn't care. Hell, I didn't give a flying F. Yeah, dude, censor himself now. I rolled the strange egg over and over slowly between my hands. I brought it close to my face and squinted hard at the blue and purple veins. Oh! I let out a cry when I felt it pulsing. The veins throbbed. I could feel a steady beat. Thud. 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 Oh, wow, it's alive! I cried. What had I found? It was totally weird. I couldn't wait to get back to my work table and examine it. But first, I had to show Anne. Anne! Hey, Anne! I called and started jogging toward her, holding the egg high in both hands. I was staring at the egg so I didn't see Stubby, her big sheepdog, run in front of me. Whoa! I let out a cry as I fell over the dog and landed with a sickening crunch on top of my egg. Oh no! What's gonna happen to Dana and the egg and the other stuff that's going on in this book? I don't even know. This is crazy. Chapter 4. I jumped up quickly, Stubby still stalled to lick my face. That dog had the worst breath. I shoved him away and bent down to examine my egg. Hey! I cried out of amazement. The egg wasn't broken. I picked it up carefully and rolled it in both hands. Not a crack. What a tough shell. Like those sweet, sweet Ninja Turtles, I thought.
Hey, Raffalandolo. Yeah? People that know about me? Raffalandolo? He's yeah. If you're up on the Life of Dune, you'll know Raffalandolo.
What a tough shell, I thought. My chest had landed on top of the egg, pushed it into the ground, but the shell hadn't broken. I wrapped my hands around the big egg as if soothing it. I could feel the blue and purple veins pulsing. Is something inside getting ready to hatch? I wondered. What kind of bird was it? Not a chicken, I knew. This was definitely not a hen's egg. Splat! Another egg smacked the side of the garage. Kids were wrestling in the runny puddles of yolk on the grass. I turned in time to see a boy crack an egg over another boy's head. Stop it! Stop it! Brandy was screaming at the top of her lungs, trying to stop the egg fight before every single egg was smashed. I turned and saw Mom and Dad running across the yard. Hey, Anne! I called. I climbed to my feet, holding the weird egg carefully. Anne was frantically tossing eggs at three girls. The girls were bombarding her, 3-1, but Anne wasn't retreating. Hey, Anne, check this out, I called, hurrying over to her. You won't believe this fucking egg. I stepped up beside her and held the egg out to her. No, wait, I cried too late. Anne grabbed my egg and heaved it at the three girls.
I really, really hope that my desire to get work done in the bath doesn't make this completely unlistenable. But, you know, I don't worry about things because of the Pabst.
Chapter 5, still alive, short circuit reference. No, stop, I wailed. As I stared in horror, one of the three girls caught the egg in midair and tossed it back. I dove for it, making a headfirst slide and grabbed the egg in one hand before it hit the gravel. Was it broken? No.
That was a pretty badass move for a fat kid.
The shell must be made of steel, I told myself. I pulled myself to my feet, gripping the egg carefully. To my surprise, it felt hot.
Burning hot.
Whoa! I nearly dropped it. Throb, throb, throb. It pulsed rapidly. I could feel the veins beating against my fingers. I wanted to show the egg to Mom and Dad, but they were busy breaking up the egg fight. Dad's face was bright red because he was an engine.
It doesn't say that. He probably wasn't an engine. If he was, he'd be drinking right now in the story.
Heyo!
There's no Native Americans that listen to podcasts. You can make fun of them as much as you want. Go build me a fucking casino.
I wanted to show the egg to Mom and Dad, but they were busy picking up the egg fight. Dad's face was bright red. He was shouting at Brandy and pointing to the yellow stains up and down the side of the garage. Mom was trying to calm down two girls who were crying. They had egg yolks stuck to their hair and crying all over their clothes. They even had it stuck to their eyebrows. I guess that's why they were crying behind them. Stubby was having a feast. He was running around in circles, lapping up egg after egg from the grass, his bushy tail wagging like crazy.
Unbeknownst to him, he was contracting salmonella and was going to die as a result of eating these eggs.
Hey, if you're out there and you're listening to Dude Reads Goosebumps, cook your eggs for your health. What a party! I decided to take my weird egg inside. I wanted to study it later. Maybe I'd break off a tiny piece of shell and look at it under the microscope. Then I'd make a tiny hole in the shell and try to see inside. Throb. Throb. The veins pounded against my hand. The egg still felt hot. It might be a turtle egg, I decided. I walked carefully to the house, cradling it in both hands. One morning, last fall, Anne found a big box turtle on the curb in front of her house. She carried it into her backyard and called me over. She knew I'd want to study it. It was a pretty big turtle, about the size of a lunchbox. A lunchbox! Snooch to the nooch. Good stuff. Anne and I wondered how it got to her curb. Up in my room, I had a book about turtles. I knew the book would help me identify it. I had hurried home to get the book, but Mom wouldn't let me go back out. I had to stay inside and have lunch. Ugh. What are you complaining about lunch, fatty fat shit? When I got back to Anne's backyard, the turtle had vanished. I guess it wandered away. Turtles can be pretty fast when they want to be. As I carried my treasure into the house, I thought it might be a turtle egg. But why was it so hot? And why did it have those yucky veins all over it? Eggs don't have veins, do they? I hid the egg in my dresser drawer. I surrounded it with my balled-up socks to protect it. Then I closed the drawer, slowly, carefully, and returned it to the backyard. Brandy's guests were all leaving as I stepped outside. They were covered in sticky eggs. They didn't look too happy. Brandy didn't look too happy either. Dad was busy shouting at her, angrily waving his arms, pointing to the gloppy egg stains all over the lawn. "Why did you let this happen?" he screamed at her. "Why didn't you stop it?" "I tried," Brandy wailed. "I tried to stop it." "We'll have to get the garage painted," Mom murmured, shaking her head. "How will we ever mow the lawn?" "This is the worst party I ever had," Brandy cried. She bent down and pulled chunks of eggshell from her sneaker laces. Then she glared up at Mom. "It's all your fault." "Huh?" Mom gasped. "My fucking fault." "You didn't hard-boil the eggs," Brandy accused. "So it's your fault." Mom started to protest, but bit her lip instead.
That girl's gonna wind up pregnant.
Brandy stood up and tossed the bits of eggshell to the ground. She flashed Mom her best dimple smile. "Next year for my birthday, can we have a make-your-own-ice-cream sundae party?" That evening, I wanted to study my weird green egg, but I had to visit Grandma Evelyn and Grandpa Harry to take them out to dinner. They always make a big fuss about Brandy's birthday. First, Brandy had to open her presents. Grandma Evelyn bought her a pair of pink fuzzy slippers and that Brandy will never wear, even though I would wear them because I love pink fuzzy slippers. She'll probably give them to Stubby as chew toys. Brandy opened the biggest box next. She pulled out a pair of pink and white pajamas. Brandy made a big fuss about them, how she really needed pajamas. She did a pretty good acting
job. What the fuck? A thing of shampoo just fell into the bath.
Fucking hell. Alright. Something about pajamas and stuff. But how excited can you get about pajamas? Her last present was a $25 gift certificate to the CD store in the mall. Nice present. I'll go with you to make sure you don't pick out anything lame. Oh, God. Here's a little side note thing. So, I'm just thinking about CDs. So, the first cassette that I ever bought, which was like third grade, I think was Offspring. The Offspring. And the cassette was Smash. And the first CD I bought was a some Weird Al CD. Yeah, I bought a cassette, fuckers, and now I'm podcasting. Look at technology. Brandy pretended she didn't hear me. She gave our grandparents big hugs. Brandy's a big hugger. Then we all went out to dinner at the new Italian restaurant on the corner. What do we talk about at dinner? Brandy's wild birthday party. When we told Grandma and Grandpa about the egg fight, they laughed and laughed. It wasn't so funny in the afternoon. but a few hours later at dinner, we had to admit, it was pretty funny. Even Dad managed a smile or two. I kept thinking about the egg in my dresser drawer. When we got back home, would I find a baby turtle on my socks? Dinner stretched on and on. Grandpa Harry told us about his funny golfing stories. Like Dorf. He tells them every time we visit. We always laugh anyway. We didn't return home until really late. Brandy fell asleep in the car and I could barely keep my stupid little eyes open. Probably because the rolls of fat on top of them. I slunk to my room and changed into pajamas. Triple XL. Then, with a loud yawn, I turned off the light. I knew I'd fall asleep the moment my head hit the pillow. I fluffed my pillow the way I like it. One day, when I grow up, I'm going to be a fluffer. That's what I told my dad. He was ashamed. Then, I slid into bed and pulled the quilt up to my chin. I had an S to chin. Then I slid into bed and pulled the quilt up to my chins. I started to settle my head on the pillow when I heard a sound. Thump. 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 Steady, like a heartbeat, only louder, much louder. Thump. Thump. Thump! So loud I could hear the dresser drawers rattling. I sat straight up, wide awake, and now I stared through the darkness into my dumpster. Thump! 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 I turned and lowered my feet to the floor. Should I open the dresser drawer? I sat in darkness, trembling with excitement, with fear, listening to the steady thud. Should I open the drawer and check it out? Or should I run as far away as I could? This is where I do the, getting out of the bath to test if it's recording, and if it's not recording, you will never hear this book, because I'm not reading this shit ever again about Tubby finding an egg. Half an hour almost now of, oh, Fatty Patchit finds an egg. So let's see. Trying so hard to get in here without dropping the ebook reader.
No!
I'd be worried way more if I was one of those rich people with a Kindle. Chapter 6. Thump, thump, thump! I had to see what was happening in my dresser drawer. Had the egg hatched? Was the turtle bumping against the sides of my drawer, trying to climb out? Was it even a turtle? Or was it something weird? When the going gets weird, the weird go pro! Suddenly, I felt very afraid of it. I took a deep breath and rose to my feet. My legs felt rubbery and weak as I made my way across the room. My mouth was suddenly as dry as cotton. Thump. 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 I clicked on the light, blinking several times, struggling to force my eyes to focus. The steady sounds grew louder as I approached the dresser. Heartbeats, I told myself. Heartbeats of the creature inside the egg. I grabbed the drawer handles with both hands, took another deep breath. Dana, this is your last chance to run away, I warned myself. This is your last chance to leave the drawer safely closed. Thump, 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 thump. I tugged open the drawer and peered inside. I stared in, amazed that nothing had changed. The egg sat exactly where I'd left it. That's a great analogy for politics, where you're like, oh, I worked my ass off on this election. I voted for this motherfucker. I voted for Bob Barr, by the way. But anyway, and then you're like, oh, yes, he won. Everything's going to be different now. And then you're like, thump, 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 thump. I went about my life the next day and nothing had changed. It's a good note to the kids. Don't vote. And if you do vote, absentee ballots, motherfuck face. The egg sat exactly where I'd left it. The blue and purple veins along the shell pulsed as before. Feeling a little calmer, I picked it up. Ouch! I nearly dropped it. The shell was burning hot. I cupped it in my hands and blew on it. This is so totally weird, I murmured to myself, all 90s style. Mom and Dad have to see it, I decided, right now. Maybe they can tell me what it is. They were still awake. I could hear them talking in the room down the hall. I carried the egg carefully, cradling it in both hands. I had to knock on their door with my elbow. It's me, I said. Dana, what is it? I'm trying to get blown, Dad murmured grumpily. It's been a long day. We're all very tired and erect. I pushed open the door, a crack. I have an egg to show you, I started. No eggs, they both cried at once. Haven't we seen enough eggs for one day? Mom griped. It's a very strange egg, I insisted. I can't identify it. I think good night, Dana, Dad interrupted. Please don't ever mention eggs again, Mom added. Promise?
Well,
I stared down at the pulsing green egg in my hand. It'll only take a second if you just Dana, Dad yelled. Why don't you go sit on it and hatch it, Dad said like an excellent parent. Clark, don't talk to Dana that way, Mom scolded, like an excellent parent, but not the me being sarcastic way. He's 12 years old, goddammit, he could take a joke, Dad protested. They started arguing about how Dad should talk to me. I muttered goodnight and started back to my room. I mean, I can take a hint.
Thump. Thump.
The egg pulsed my hand. I had a sudden impulse to crack it open and see what was inside, but of course I would never do that. I stopped outside Brandy's room. I was desperate to show my weird treasure to somebody. I knocked on the door. No answer. I knocked again a little harder. Brandy is a very heavy sleeper. Still, no answer. I started to knock a third time and the door flew open. Brandy greeted me with an open-mouthed yawn.
You should drink some Pabst, dude. Okay. Oh, fuck it, dude. You should just finish it off. You're probably going to go pass out pretty soon anyway. All right, that's pretty cool, too.
I was drinking and reading Dawkins is the Ancestor's Tale for quite a while after I got home from work. You don't care. Let me just finish this beer, though. And into the bath you go, beer.
I want to show you this egg, I told her. She narrowed her eyes at me. You're serious? After what happened at my party? After the worst birthday party in the history of America? Oh, God, you don't know about poor people. You really want to show me an egg? I held it up. Yeah, here it is. She slammed the door in my stupid, fat, ugly face. You mean you won't see it? You don't want to see it? I called to her. No reply. Once again, I could take a hint. I carried the egg back to my room and set it down carefully in the dresser drawer. Then I closed the drawer and climbed back to bed. Dune is classy.
I apologize, ladies. Thump. Thump. Thump.
I fell asleep to the steady throbbing.
He's a total bottom.
The next morning, I woke up just in time to watch the egg hatch.
Chapter 7.
A loud cracking sound woke me up. Blinking, I pulled myself up on one elbow, still half asleep. I thought I heard Brandy cracking her knuckles. That's one of Brandy's secret talents. She never does it when adults are around, but when they're alone, we're alone, she can crack her and but when we're alone, she can crack out entire symphonies on her knuckles. Another loud crack snapped me alert. The dresser. The noises were coming from the fucking dresser. I heard a long rip like Velcro ripping open. Then more cracks like cracking bones. And I knew it had to be the egg. My heart started to pound. I leaped up, grabbed my glasses and then slammed them onto my face. My legs tangled onto the bedsheet and I nearly went sprawling over the floor. I hurtled across the room. The egg was hatching and I had to be there in time to watch. I grabbed the drawer handles and eagerly pulled the drawer open. I was so eager I nearly pulled the drawer off the dresser. Catching my balance, I gripped the dresser top with both hands and stared down at the egg. Crack! The blue and purple veins throbbed. A long, jagged crack split across the green shell. I heard a low grunt from inside the egg, the grunt of a creature working hard to push out. What a struggle! It sounded like a turtle, I told myself.
Did I sound like one of the turtles from the snapping turtle from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2? You know, like, go ninja, go ninja, go, 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 go.
Ninja rap. I rubbed my eyes and squinted down at the egg. It was bouncing and bobbing in the drawer now. Each grunt made the egg move. The veins throbbed. Another crack split along the front shell. And thick yellow glue poured out into the drawer, seeping into my socks. Yuck! I cried the egg, shook another crack. More of the thick liquid oozed down the egg and onto my socks. The egg bobbed and bounced. I heard more hard grunting.
That was one of the moments in my life where I'm like, I hope someone doesn't randomly walk in right now while I'm naked, holding an ebook reader, drinking, and going into a microphone that's suspended upside down like a noose in front of me. Oh, God, I should have stayed in college.
The egg trembled with each grunt. Yellow slime oozed as the cracks in the shell grew wider. The veins pulsed, the egg shook, and then a large triangle of shell broke off. It fell into the drawer. I leaned closer to stare into the hole of the egg. I couldn't see what was inside. I could see only wet, yellow, blobby stuff.
Beer number three of this podcast recording. All right.
I held my breath as a weird creature pushed itself out of the breaking shell. A yellow, lumpy thing. A baby chicken? No fucking way! I could see a head, or wings, or feet. I gripped the dresser top and stared down at it. The strange animal pushed away the last section of shell. This was amazing. It rolled wetly over my socks. A blob, a sticky, shiny yellow blob. It looked like a pile of very runny scrambled eggs, except it had tiny green veins crisscrossing all over it. My chest felt about to explode. I finally remembered to breathe. I let out my breath in a long whoosh. My heart was thudding. The yellow blob throbbed. It made me sick. Wet, sucking sounds. It turned slowly, and I saw round black eyes near its top. No head, no face, just two tiny black eyes on top of the lumpy yellow head. If I was R.L. Stein, I would describe it as Frosty the Snowman. What come March, you know? Just a blob with some eyes. Forgotten by the children, ready to move on to new things. Hey, Timmy, did you hear that I fingered Becky? Oh, no, I didn't hear that. That's totally awesome. Let's never think about Frosty Snowman again and let him die. Okay, cool. Have you heard of weed? Oh, let's smoke it. Oh, let's ruin our lives and never care about Frosty again. Oh, no! The fuck am I talking about? No head, no face, just two tiny black eyes on top of a lumpy yellow body. You're not a chicken, I murmured out loud. My voice came out in a choked whisper. You're definitely not a chicken. But what the fuck was it? Hey, Mom! Dad! I shouted. They had to see this creature. They had to see the scientific discovery of the fucking century. Fuck you, penicillin! Mom! Dad! Hurry! No response. The lumpy creature stared up at me, throbbing. Its tiny green veins pulsing, its eggy body bouncing. Mom! Dad! Silence. I stared into my drawer. What should I do?
This isn't a give yourself goosebumps. You have no choice what he should do.
Chapter
8. Hey, ladies, how's it going? This is chapter 8. Yeah. Getting all sexual and sensual up in this beer.
I had to show it to my mom and dad. I carefully closed the dresser drawer so it couldn't bounce out and escape. Then I went running downstairs, shouting at the top of my voice. My pajama pants were twisted and I nearly fell down the stairs like the tubbly mass. It's like when you're on the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland and the big ball's coming down because I was so morbidly obese! Mom! Dad, where the fuck are you? The house was silent. The vacuum cleaner had been pulled out of the closet, but no one was around to use it. What is going on with that vacuum? I burst in the kitchen. Were they still having breakfast? Mom? Dad? Brandy?
Sorry. There's something in my mouth which is kind of grossing me out.
Ow.
Somehow I lodged loose a piece of the popcorn I had for dinner. That can't be nutritious. I had peaches and popcorn.
the fuck is wrong with me anyway? No one there. Sunlight streamed in through the kitchen window. The breakfast dishes, the 3 cereal bowls, and 2 cups of coffee were stacked beside the sink. Where did they go? I wondered, my heart pounding. How could they leave when I had the most amazing thing in the world and the history of the universe to show them? I turned to leave the kitchen when I saw the note on the refrigerator. It was written in blue ink.
I bet the sound has changed because now I'm like laying down in the bath with the ebook reader above my head.
Okay. I snatched off the magnet and read it. Dad and I took Brandy to her piano lesson. Make yourself some cereal. Love, M. Cereal? Cereal? How could I think about cereal at a time like this?
Obviously, he doesn't have Frankenberry.
What should I do now? I lean my forehead against the cool refrigerator, struggling to think. I couldn't leave the throbbing egg blob locked upstairs in the dresser drawer all morning. Maybe it needs fresh air. Maybe it needed exercise. Maybe it needed food. Food? I swallowed hard. What would it eat? What could it eat? It was just a lump of scrambled eggs with eyes. I've got to take it out of here, I decided. I've got to show it to someone. I thought instantly of Anne. Fap, fap, fap. Yes, I explained to myself. I'll take it next door and show Anne. She has a dog. She's really good with pets and animals. Maybe she'll have some idea of what I should do with it. I hurried back upstairs and pulled on the jeans and t-shirt I had tossed in the floor the night before. Then I made my way to the dresser and slid open the drawer. Yuck! The egg blob sat in its own yellow slime. Its whole body throbbed. The tiny round eyes stares up at me. I'm taking you to Anne's, I told it. Maybe two of us can figure out what the fuck you are. Only one problem. How do I take it there? I rub my chins, staring down at it. Do I carry it on a plate? No, it might tumble off. A bowl? No. A jar? No, it couldn't breathe. A box? Yes, I'll put it in a box. This is an internal dialogue that does not need to take place in written form. I'll put it in a box, I decided. I opened my closet, dropped my hands and knees, and shuffled through all the junk piled up on the floor. That's how I clean my room. I toss everything in the closet and shut the fucking door. I have the cleanest room in the house. No problem. The only problem is finding things in my closet. If I'm searching for something to wear, sometimes it takes days. Today, I got lucky. I found what I was looking for right away. It was a shoebox. The box my new sneakers came in. I'm like laying down in the bath now, like in a birthing position. That is a horrible image. I picked up the box from the clutter and climbed to my feet. Then I kicked a bunch of stuff back into the closet so I could get the door closed. Okay, I cried happily. I returned to the throbbing egg glob. I'm carrying you to Anne's in this box. Ready? I didn't expect it to answer, and it didn't. Ooh, suspenseful. I pulled off the shoebox lid and set it in the dresser top. Then I lowered the box into the dresser. Now what? I asked myself out loud. How do I get it in the box? Do I pick it up? Put it in my hand? I held the box in my left hand and started to reach in the drawer with my right hand. But then I jerked my hand away. Will it bite me? I wondered. How can it? It doesn't have a mouth. Will it sting me? Will it hurt me somehow? My throat tightened. My hands started to tremble. It was so gross, so wet and soggy. You'll like that in a couple years. Pick it up, Dana, I told myself. Stop being such a wimp. You're a scientist, remember? You. I got too excited. Scientists can't back away from just something just because it's yucky and gross. I took a deep breath. I counted to 3. Then I reached for it. Sorry.
Sorry, I was getting popcorn out of my teeth still. Why the fuck did I... That's like having milk while podcasting. Luckily, I only drink alcohol and water.
Chapter 9. As my hand moved toward it, the creature began to tremble. It looked like a glob of yellow jello.
That rhymed yellow and...
I pulled back once again. I can't do it, I decided. I can't pick it up barehanded. It might be too dangerous. I watched it shake and throb, wet bobble... Wet bubbles forming on its eggy skin. Is it scared of me, I wondered? Or is it trying to warn me? I had to find something to pick it up. I turned and glanced around the room. My eyes landed on my baseball glove tucked on the top shelf of my bookcase. I need to get my shit together. Alright, dude. Alright, we're sitting up straight. We're paying attention. Maybe I could pick up the egg creature in the glove and drop it in the shoebox. I was halfway across the room when I decided I didn't want to get my glove all wet and gloppy. I needed to shovel it into the box, I thought. A little shovel would make the job easy. I walked to the dresser. The egg creature was still shaking like crazy. I closed the drawer. Maybe the darkness will calm it down, I thought. I made my way down to the basement. Mom and Dad kept all their gardening supplies down there. I found a small metal trowel and carried it back up to my room. When I pulled open the drawer, the eggy blob was still shaking. Don't worry, fella, I told it. I'm a scientist. I'll be real gentle. I don't think it understood English. As I lowered the trowel into the drawer, the green veins on the throbbing body began to pulse. The creature started bobbing up and down. The little black eyes bulged at me. I had the feeling this little guy was about to explode or something.
Easy.
Easy. Easy. I whispered. I lowered the trowel carefully beside it. Then I slowly slid it under the throbbing creature. There. Gotcha, I said softly. It wiggled and shook on the blade of the trowel. I began to lift it carefully from the drawer. The shoebox sat on top of the dresser. I had the trowel in my right hand. I reached for the shoebox with my left. Up, up, slowly, very slowly. Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A. I raised the egg creature toward the box. Up, up. Almost to the box, the creature growled at me, a low, gruff growl, like an angry dog.
Sorry, my dog doesn't make a lot of noise, so I do assume. Franklin mostly just kind of, he does a little bit of growling, but he's mostly pretty silent, so. Is apparently my dog growling noise.
Oh! I uttered a startled cry, and the trowel dropped from my hand. Yay! I let out another cry as it clanged across the floor, and the egg creature plopped wetly onto my sneaker. No! Without thinking, I bent down and grabbed it in my hand. I'm holding it, I realized, my heart pounding. I'm holding it. What's gonna happen to me?
Prepare to be disappointed, listeners.
Chapter 10.
Nothing happened.
I love R.L. Stein. I was just thinking tonight how I need to get an R.L. Stein tattoo. So if he like tries to sue me or whatever, I can be like, look, dude, I obviously love you. And everything I say is in jest and you're a great man. But really, starting a chapter with nothing happened after what's going to happen to me?
Come on, R.L. We know you're better than that.
No shock jolted my body. No rash spread instantly over my skin. My hand didn't fall off. The creature felt warm and soft, like runny scrambled eggs. I realized I was squeezing it tightly, too tightly. I loosened my grip and lowered it into the shoebox and fastened the lid over the top. I set the shoebox down on the dresser top and examined my hand. It felt wet and sticky, but the skin hadn't turned yellow or peered off or anything. I could hear the creature pulsing inside the box. Don't growl like that again, I told it. You scared me. I grabbed some tissues and wiped off my hand and kept my eyes on the box. The creature was bouncing around in there. What the fuck kind of animal was this? I wondered. I never had a pop-up book that featured this thing. I wish Mom and Dad were home. I really, really wanted to show it to them. I glanced at the clock radio on my bedside. Clock radio, only 9 o'clock. Anne might still be sleeping. Sometimes she slept until noon on Saturdays. I'm not really sure why. She said it made the day go by faster. That is depressing. Anne is a pretty weird girl. I lifted the box with both hands. The egg creature felt surprisingly heavy. I made sure the lid was on tight. Then I carried it downstairs and out the back door. It was a sunny, warm day. A soft breeze made the fresh spring leaves tremble on the trees.
This is me touching my foot in the bathtub, not farting. I just need to make that clear every time.
All right, good. Two houses down, Mr. Simpson was already moving his back Mowing is back on. Near the garage, two robins were having a tug-of-war over a fat brown earthworm, Jim. I carried the box to Anne's back door. The door opened. I peered through the screen. "Hi, Dana. Come in," Anne's mother called from the front, from in front of the sink where she belongs. Balancing the box against my chest, I pulled open the screen door and stepped into the kitchen. Anne sat at the breakfast table. She wore a big blue t-shirt over black bike shorts. Heyo! Her red-brown hair was tied behind her head in a long ponytail. Three guesses what she was eating for breakfast. "You got it, scrambled eggs!" Nice one, RL. "Yo, Dana!" she greeted me. "What up?" "Well," Miss Gravel moved toward the stove. "Dana, have you had breakfast? Can I make you some scrambled eggs?" My stomach did a flip-flop. I swallowed hard. "No, I don't think so." "Nice, fresh eggs," Miss Gravel insisted. "I can make them fried if you don't like scrambled." "No, thanks," I replied weakly. I felt the eggy blob bounce inside the box. "I might need some more," Anne told her mom, shoveling in a big gulp. "These eggs are great, Mom." Mrs. Gravel cracked an egg on the side of the skillet. "Maybe I'll make one for myself," she said. And all this talk about eggs was making me sick. Anne finished her orange juice. "Hey, what's in the box? New sneakers?" No, I replied. "Check this out, Anne. You won't fucking believe what I found." I was so eager to show her. Holding the box in front of me with both hands, I started across the kitchen and tripped over Stubby again. The big, dumb sheepdog was always got underfoot. "Whoa!" I let out a cry as I fell over on top of the dog and watched the shoebox fly in the air. I landed on top of Stubby, got a mouthful of fur. Ugh. "Got a mouthful of fur. Hey, Dana, you'll get that in a couple of years." Struggled frantically to get to my feet and saw the egg creature sail out of the box and drop into Anne's breakfast plate. Anne's mouth dropped open, her face twisted in disgust. "Oh, yuck," she wailed. "Rotten eggs, gross, rotten eggs." "No, it's alive," I protested, but I don't think anyone heard me. Stubby jumped on me as I started to explain and nearly knocked me down again. "Down, boy, down," Miss Gravel scolded. "You know better than that." "Get this away," Anne demanded, shoving her plate across the table. Her mom examined the plate, then glared at me. "Dana, what is wrong with you? This isn't funny. You've ruined perfectly good scrambled eggs. You spoiled my breakfast," Anne cried angrily. "No, wait," I protested, but it wasn't fast enough. Miss Gravel grabbed the plate. She carried it to the sink, clicked on the garbage disposal, and started to empty the egg creature into the roaring drain.
Oh my god. Murder.
For no reason, once again, thank you, Dusty Best, for making the sweet, sweet theme music for Dune Reads Goosebumps Chapter 11. No! And let out a shriek and dove in the sink. I made a wild grab and pulled the creature from the drain. No! I pulled a handful of scrambled eggs from the drain. The egg creature rolled around the sink and started to slide toward the gurgling drain. I tossed the scrambled eggs down and grabbed the creature as it started to drop toward the grinding blades. The lumpy yellow blob felt hot in my hands. I could feel the veins throbbing. The whole creature pulsed rapidly like a racing heart. I raised it up to my face and examined it, still in one piece.
"I saved your life," I told it.
"Whew! What a close one!" I balanced it carefully in my palm. It shuddered and throbbed, wet bubbles rolling around its lumpy sides, the black eyes still staring up at me. "What is that thing?" Anne demanded, getting up from the breakfast table. She straightened her long ponytail. "Is it a puppet? Did you make it out of an old sock or something?" Before I could answer, Mrs. Gravel gave me a gentle push toward the kitchen door. "Get it the fuck out of here, Dana," she ordered. "It's disgusting." She pointed down. "Look, it's dripping some kind of eggy goo all over my kitchen floor." I found it out back," I started. "I don't really know what it is, but out," Anne's mom insisted. She held it open.
Come on, Dean. We all know you're literate. You've read a lot of Goosebumps. Some would say like 35 hours of Goosebumps.
But who's counting? Am I right? You know? She held open the screen door for me. "Ow, I mean it. I don't want to have to wash the whole floor." I didn't have a choice. I carried the egg creature out to the backyard. It seemed a little calmer. At least it wasn't trembling and pulsing so hard. Anne followed me to the driveway. The bright sun made the egg creature gleam. My hands felt slimy and wet. I didn't want to squeeze it too tightly, but I didn't want to let it fall. Is it a puppet? Anne demanded. She bent down to see it better. Yuck, is it alive? I nodded. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely alive. I found it yesterday at Bran's park. I found it yesterday at Brandy's party. Anne continued to study the yellow blob. You found it where? I found an egg back by the creek, I told her. A very weird-looking egg. I took it home and it hatched this morning, and this is what came out. But what is it? Anne asked. She gingerly poked its side with a pointing finger. With her pointer finger. Oh, yuck, it's all wet and mushy. It's not a chicken, I replied. Ah, duh. You ever hear someone, like, in a this day and age go, duh, and you're just like, really? It's 2011, people don't... Duh! Oh, God, I hate everyone. Anne said, rolling her eyes. Did you figure that out all by yourself? I thought it might be a turtle egg, I said, ignoring her sarcasm. She squinted harder at it. Do you think it's a turtle without a shell? Do turtles hatch without shells? I don't think so, I replied. I'm sorry. Maybe it's some kind of mistake. My mom's always telling me I'm a mistake, Anne suggested. A freak of nature, you know. Like you, she laughed. Anne has a great sense of humor. She poked the egg creature again. The creature let out a soft wheeze of air. Maybe discovered a new species, Anne suggested. A whole new kind of animal that's never been seen before. Maybe, I replied. That was an exciting idea. They'll name it after you, Anne teased. They'll call it the Dodo. She laughed again. You're not being very helpful, I said sharply, and then I had an idea. Know what I'm going to do with this? I said, cupping it carefully between my hands. I'm going to take it to that little science lab. She narrowed her eyes at me. What science lab? You know, that little science lab, I replied impatiently. The one on Denver Street, just 3 blocks from here. I don't hang out at weird little science labs, okay? Anne said. I don't either, I told her, but I've passed by that lab a million times riding my bike to school. I'm going to take this thing there. Someone will tell me what it is. I'm not going with you, Anne said, crossing her skinny arms in front of her sweet, 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 sweet chest. I had better things to do. I didn't invite you, cunt, I sneered. Wow.
Oh, God. No, the computer's shutting down. Fuck. I gotta pee anyway. Let's see if this is good.
Fuck.
Shut up. The floating beer cans are ruining me. Sink those fuckers.
Chapter 12. Look out! Anne's stupid sheepdog ran in front of my bike just as I started down the driveway. I jammed on the handbrake. My bike squealed to a sharp stop and the shoebox nearly toppled off the handlebars. Stubby, you moron! I shrieked. The dog loped off across the backyard, probably laughing to himself. I think Stubby gets a real thrill from tripping me up whenever he sees me. I waited for my heart to stop thudding in my chest. Then I steadied the shoebox on my handlebars. I started pedaling down the street, steering with one hand, keeping the other hand on top of the box. The scientists at the lab have got to know what the fuck this thing is, I told myself. They've got to! I usually speed down my street, but this morning I pedaled slowly. I stopped at each corner to make sure no cars were coming, because today, the first day ever, I valued my life. I tried to steer away from the bumps in each street, but my street has a lot of potholes. Each time I hit a bump, I could hear the egg creature bouncing inside the carton. Just don't bounce out, I thought. I pictured it bouncing out of the box, dropping on the street, and being run over by a car. I stopped to balance it better on the handlebars. Then I began pedaling slowly. Some kids from school were starting up a softball game on the playground in the next block. They called me. I think they wanted me to join the game. Probably not, fatty, am I right? I got my hand out in case someone wants to bump my knuckles, you know? What up, Nux? I called that fat kid fat. Ah. But I pretended I didn't hear them. I didn't have time for softball. I was on a scientific mission.
We're on a mission from Gad.
I didn't look back. I kept pedaling. As I turned the corner onto Denver, a city bus roared past. The whoosh of the air from the bus nearly knocked me over. As I steadied the bike, I saw the lid push out from the shoebox. The egg creature was trying to escape. I grabbed the box and pushed it down the lid. I pedaled faster. The lab was only a block away. The creature pushed up against the lid. I pushed back. I didn't want to crush it, but I didn't want it to escape either. I could feel it bouncing inside the box, pushing up against the lid. I kept my hand on the lid, struggling to hold it down. A station wagon filled with kids rumbled past. One of the kids yelled something to me. I didn't really hear him. I was concentrating as hard as I could on keeping the egg creature inside the box. I rolled through a stop sign. I didn't see it. Luckily, no cars were approaching. The lab came into view on the next corner. It was a white shingled building, very low, only one story tall, but very long, with a row of small square windows along the front. It looked like a very long train car. I bumped up the curb and rode my bike onto the grass. Then I grabbed the shoebox with both hands and hopped off. The bike fell to the ground with both wheels spinning. Gripping the box tightly in both hands, I ran across the front lawn, up the white double doors in front. I found a doorbell on the wall to the right of the doors and pushed it again and kept my finger on it. Beer is gone! When no one came to the door, I tried the knob, pushed, then pulled. No, the door was locked. I tried knocking and pounding as hard as I could with my fist. Then I rang the bell. Where was everyone? I was about to start pounding again when I saw the sign over the door. A small, hand-painted black and white sign that sent my heart fucking sinking. It read, "Closed Saturdays and Sundays." You know, like a normal business kid? Oh, I go to school during the week, but I get weekends off. Oh, these people work in a fucking laboratory, working 14 hours a day. Oh, they don't get Saturday and Sunday off. Of course they should get Saturday and Sunday off, Dana. Of course they should. It's the American way. God damn it! Chapter 13. I let out a long sigh and shoved the box under my arm. I was so disappointed. What was I going to do with this weird egg creature now? Shaking my head unhappily, I turned and started back to my bike. I was halfway across the grass when I heard the front door open. I turned to see an older man in a white lab coat. He had shiny white hair and parted it in the middle and slicked it down on both fucking sides. His mustache was salt and pepper. He had blue, pale eyes that peered out at me from his pale, wrinkly face. He smiled, his eyes crinkled up at the sides and shit.
Can I help you?
He asked. Yeah, I stammered. I raised the shoebox in front of me and started back across the grass. I could feel the egg creature bouncing around in there. Is that a sick bird? The man asked, squinting the box. I'm afraid I can't help you with that. This is a science lab. I'm not a vet. No, it's not a bird, I told him. I carried the box to the door. My heart was pounding. For some reason, I felt very nervous. I guess I was excited about talking to a real scientist. I respect and admire scientists so much. Also, I was excited about finally finding out what had hatched from that weird egg and finding out what I should do with it. Oh, I'm Dana. I love scientists. Yeah, well, I'm Dune. When I was a kid, I wanted to go to MIT and shit. You know what I did? Fucking try to be a rapper and fucking huff paint. You can't even huff paint anymore, I don't think, but I'm still into it, apparently. Due to this diatribe. The man smiled at me again. He had a warm, friendly smile that made me feel a little calmer. Well, if it isn't a baby bird in there, what is it? He asked softly. I was hoping you could tell me, I replied. I shoved the shoebox toward him, but he didn't take it. It's something I found, I continued. I mean, I found an egg in my backyard. An egg? What kind of egg, son? I don't know, I told him. It's a very big egg. It had veins all over and it kind of breathed. He stared at me.
An egg that breathed?
I nodded. I put it in my dresser drawer, and then it hatched this morning and... Come in, son, the man said. Come right in. His expression changed. His eyes flashed. He had suddenly looked very interested. He put a hand on my shoulder and guided me into the lab. I had to blink my eyes a few times, wait for my eyes to adjust the dim light inside. The walls were all white. I saw a desk and chairs, a low table with some science magazines on them. This was a waiting room, I decided. It was all very clean and modern looking. A lot of chrome and glass and white leather. The man had his eyes in the box of my hands. He rubbed his mustache with his fingers. "I'm Dr. Gray," he announced. "I'm the managing lab scientist here." I switched the box to my left hand so I could shake hands with him. I want to be a scientist when I get older," I blurted out. I could feel my face turning red. "What's your name, son?" Dr. Gray asked.
Dana Johnson. I live a few blocks away on Melrose."
"It's nice to meet you, Dana," Dr. Gray said, straightening the front of his white lab coat. He moved to the front door. He closed it, locked it, and bolted it. That's weird, I thought, feeling a shiver of fear. Why did he do that? Then I remembered that the lab was closed on weekends. He probably bolts the door when the place is closed. "Follow me," Dr. Gray said. He led the way down the narrow white hallway. I followed him into a small lab. I saw a long white table cluttered with all kinds of test tubes, specimen jars, and electronic equipment. "Set the box down here," he instructed, pointing to an empty spot on the table. I sat the box down. I reached in front of me to remove the lid. "You found this in your backyard?" I nodded. "Back by the creek." He carefully pulled the lid off the box. "Oh my goodness," he murmured. And that is the end of part one of... God damn, what is this book called? Like fucking Egg Monsters from Mars, maybe?
I think that actually might be what it's called.
Anyway, this is the end of part one of it. Regardless, I am Dune. I'm really hoping that the bath didn't ruin this one. I really like recording in the bath. I'm still naked and awesome and drunk. And once again, thank you again to Dusty. I never give him enough thanks for putting together this theme song. This book was recorded because Giovanni told me to. So thanks, Giovanni. Thanks, Kevin Goswan, for, you know, co-hosting I'm the co-host of the Comics Online podcast. Once again, you know, go to Christian's Blast... Blast Chamber Radio! Heyo! Dude remembers things. And aside from that, what else is going on? I don't know. I'm just really hoping the sound quality isn't horrible in here. I've been doing a lot of voiceover work for very fucking cheap, so I can help you get a repertoire going and get some fucking money out of this shit. And aside from that, my name is Dune. I can be reached at Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com, on Twitter at Dune, or at the Facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps. And once again, as always, stay spooky, bitches.